You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Baby shower friends launch a frantic search for a missing mom, 28. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us.
A Virginia mom and nurse misses her shift. Calls go to voicemail. Friends and family are worried. Concern grows for missing Momta.
Where is Momta? This woman, devoted to her baby girl, she's a new mom, and an incredible pediatric nurse, puts herself through school to excel. She's juggling all the plates, keeping all the balls in the air, and then suddenly she doesn't show up for her shift at the hospital. And it is her friends, her coworkers, who become alarmed. Then her friends from a baby shower band together with other friends and even people she's never met to try and find Momta. Can somebody tell me why it took so long from the time she goes missing till the time flyers are posted digitally and she is actually categorized as a missing person? We've lost days and days and days. And this little girl is wondering, where is mommy? First of all, who is this person? Listen.
Newlyweds Naresh and Momta Bhatt settle into married life after Bhatt joins the army and serves two active tours overseas, reportedly maintaining active secret clearance. Meanwhile, Momta completes college to become a pediatric nurse at Prince William Hospital. The couple welcomes their first baby, a little girl. The two decide to split the week, so when one of them is at work, the other is home with their new baby girl. This means while new mom Momta pulls a pediatric shift at Prince William Hospital, Naresh is home, and likewise, when he's at General Dynamics working IT, Momta has mommy duty.
Joining me in All-Star panel to make sense of what we are learning right now about Momta's disappearance and how can we find her? Can we bring her home alive with a baby girl and a big family waiting on her? Joining me, an investigative reporter from Fox 5, Nana Santubonsu. But first, I want to go to a friend of Momta's, Nadia Navarro, friend of Momta. To GoFundMe organizer, and the GoFundMe is Help Find Momta. Nadia, again, thank you for being with us. When did you realize Momta was gone?
August 9th, I was made aware. I got a call from a friend I met at Momta's baby shower.
August 9th, today is August 14. So you found out she was missing on August 9. Okay, I'm already 5 days in, but it gets worse. It's much further than just 5 days in. Nadia, tell me that one more time. Who called you?
A friend from the baby shower that I met there.
Okay, tell me about the baby shower. Let's start right there.
It took place last year, and there were probably around 100 people there. It was really big.
What time do we think she went missing? Well, she was last seen alive July 31. I understand to an investigative reporter, Fox 5, joining us, Nana Santubonsu, that she was last seen July 31, but no one realized she was missing until she did not show up for her pediatric nurse shift. Is that correct?
You're absolutely correct. Police are telling us, police in Manassas Park tell us that the last time she was seen was Wednesday, July 31st at her home in Manassas Park. And as we've been discussing, according to her coworkers, she did not show up for her shift on the 1st, and that's when they got concerned and they called police and a welfare check was requested.
Okay, Nana, I just had chills go down my whole self. When you say pediatric nurse, I'm just thinking of all the love, all the dedication, all the long hours the pediatric nurses in the NICU devoted and saved my children and now she's gone. And who's trying to find her? Who's trying to help her? I mean, they literally saved my twins' lives. They saved their lives. And from what I hear about her, to you, Nadia Navarro, this is her friend, she was completely devoted to pediatric nursing, which is no small thing. That's a niche. That is a specialty. And then the miracle. She had her own baby girl. There is no way in H-E-double-L this woman would leave that pediatric unit and, more important, her own baby.
That's true. She would never. She would never do that.
Tell me about her as a person, Nadia.
I would say Mamta is an incredibly dedicated person. She worked while she was studying, and she would study for at least 9 hours a day to take the NCLEX exam. That's the nursing exam. She studied for months and months. And even when she had her baby and when she was pregnant up to 8 months, she was still working.
You know, let me go to Kathleen Murphy joining us, a high profile lawyer out of Raleigh at TriangleDivorceLawyers.com. Kathleen, what Nadia Navarro just said brings back memories of study, 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 study. I remember even studying in the bathtub in law school. It was constant. Mm-hmm. When she said 9 hours a day, that's for real. People do study that hard, that intensely, if they want to succeed, if they care about what they are doing. Yes, there's those students that go off and have a weekend drunk every weekend and kick around. Not this girl. No. Mamta. Tell them it's real. People really do study that hard. If you look at my law school books, which I still have, even though they were third hand when I bought them, there are watermarks all over them from turning the pages on the side of the bathtub.
Well, when I went to law school, Nancy, we didn't have laptops. I had index cards in shoeboxes, and we would spend 8 to 10 hours a day. That was our job, as this is her job. Adding into this her nursing career, being a mother, she's clearly a dedicated and hardworking person. You don't become a NICU nurse without being a very, very dedicated nurse.
You know, back to you, Nadia Navarro. I want to follow up on her dedication. What she went through to become a pediatric nurse, there is no way she's going to just not show up for her shift.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, being a nurse was her absolute dream, and it's something that she did in India, but she had to restart the process of getting certified, board certified here. And she was completely committed to it. Nothing was going to stop her. Every day she was taking notes. If you went into her room, it was the walls from everywhere were filled with sticky notes everywhere.
So that day, everything goes sideways. Listen.
Bells of alarm go off when new mom, Mamta, does not show up for her regular shift at Prince William's. In fact, it's so out of character, Mamta's coworkers begin reaching out to find out what's wrong. Unable to reach her, the hospital management calls Manassas Park Police begging for a welfare check on Mamta and her baby.
To Brian Fitzgibbons, joining us along with Nana Saintu Bonesu and friend Nadia Navarro. Brian Fitzgibbons, Director Operations USPA Nationwide Security, leads a team of investigators specializing in finding missing people, and you can find them at USPA Security. I could go on, but I want to get back to Mamta. Okay, Brian, thank you for being with us. You know what I hate among so many things? When women hear you've got Nadia saying her baby shower friends let me know she's missing. When it's scoffed at, when it's frowned upon, when it's discounted that moms, friends, baby shower friends, as in this case, say something is wrong. Why do police, God bless them, because they are the backbone of every case I ever prosecuted. Why do they go, oh, she'll show up. She's probably with her boyfriend. What? Okay, my head is starting to hurt right here. She's with her boyfriend, or she's just having a layabout, or she's having me time, or she's gone for a girls' weekend. That's such BS. Why is this discounted? Why did so many days pass before that digital flyer went online, before she was even reported missing? I'll get back to the husband on that in a moment. But why is the observation of women friends discounted this way, like we're all hysterical? I actually feel hysterical right now because nobody's helping Momta. She's helped all of these babies, all of these women get through the single most difficult thing in their life that they've encountered up to that point. But nobody's helping her. Why? Why is it us and her baby shower friends trying to find her?
It's amazing, Nancy. Time and again, we see this in situations with missing women, that red flags are blown by, that they're overlooked by either law enforcement or the public. Now, in this case, I think there is something important for us to note. Law enforcement listed Momta, categorized her disappearance as involuntary. Okay, this is important for a couple of reasons. First and foremost, when they categorize her disappearance as involuntary, that's in the NCIC database where all missing cases go. Okay, this is one of six categorizations, and that involuntary coding makes up less than 1% of all missing people in the United States. So when law enforcement did that, that's a strong indicator to me that they have more information on the circumstances surrounding her disappearance.
Okay, that was a lot of words, Brian Fitzgibbons. And you know how I like to hear it? Fast and furious, like a bullet. Give it to me in a bullet. Can you do that? No? Well, okay, you know what? I'll take your words and I'll shoot them right back at you in a bullet. Cops say she's involuntarily missing. What does that mean? It's what we've been saying for now, what, 13 minutes? She would never have left her child, her baby girl, willingly. She didn't just decide to go to the mall. Can you agree with that, Brian?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think back to, I have two children, Nancy, and if my wife was gone for more than 4 hours, I'd be calling everybody in the neighborhood to find where she was. The bottom line is days and days went by, and this is absolutely a urgent matter here.
Brian Fitzgibbons, did you just say the director of operations, USPA Nationwide Security, if your wife is gone 4 hours and you don't hear from her, you find that odd?
Absolutely. I'm calling everybody in the neighborhood.
Okay, so it's not just me.
It's not just you, Nancy, no.
Because if my husband is gone that long, I'm not like, ooh, let me read his emails. He's with somebody. He's out at a bar. I don't think that. I think things like he's had a wreck. Somebody hit him over the head in the parking lot and he's bleeding out. Those are the kind of things that come to my mind. You know what? I'm with you. 4 hours and I don't know where he or my children are. That's a problem for me. So Nadia Navarro joining me, friend of Momta and GoFundMe organizer about Help Find Momta. When you were told she did not show up for her shift as a pediatric nurse, what did you think? What was your immediate thought?
I thought that was impossible. She would never have missed a shift. She wouldn't.
Virginia police in search of missing mom, Momta, last seen in Manassas Park.
Where is missing mom, Momta? Notice we say missing. That has a whole meaning to it. When you say, oh, they're late for work, that's one thing. When you say they're missing, that's a whole nother scenario. To Dr. John Delatorre joining me, a licensed psychologist, mediator, specializes in forensic psychology. Dr. Delatorre, thank you for being with us. I'm a little concerned. Why is it us, you five and myself, and our whole crew searching for Momta, her baby shower friends. Why was her disappearance so quickly discounted? Days went by before she was officially named as missing.
Well, see, here's from my perspective, I think the police are trying to catch up, right? And you know, the other guest was describing how she's involuntary, but why did it take so long? Who says that the last time she was seen was on July 31st? Where did the police get that information? Could it have been possible that she's been missing for a lot longer and her disappearance just wasn't actually raised? Who, you know, where was the urgency from her family members to get this name out there to say, hey, she's gone. She's engaging in a behavior that she has no business engaging in, that she would never do under any circumstances. Where is the urgency to get this done? Now, I can understand people, you know, deal with stressors in all different kinds of ways. But if your statement is that you love her and this person is important to you, you would anticipate that they would do more to get a resolution to what is going on.
Joining me, investigative reporter from Fox 5, Nana Saintubonsu. Nana, Delatorre brings up a good point. Like, why didn't the family raise a red bell of alarm? Well, wait. When you are working crazy shifts as a pediatric nurse, that can be at night, that can be in the mornings, when you're raising a child and you're up with the baby all during the night, you may not check in with mom and dad religiously every day. 2 or 3 days can pass when you haven't spoken to them. Did that happen to me? No. But does it happen to most people? Yes. So 3, 4 days may have passed without her family even realizing she was missing.
You know, Nancy, that's a good question. And that's a question we've all been asking. Why did it take so long? Fine. If her husband didn't call immediately, what about her parents? Does she have family? How about her siblings? But to answer your immediate question, I don't know if Momta has an extended family here. We only heard from a brother a couple days ago at a community gathering. He FaceTimed or video called in from Nepal.
We have to be her voice, along with her friends, along with her baby shower friends, banding together to try to find this missing mom. And with me, one of those friends, Nadia Navarro, who's spearheading the GoFundMe, Help Find Momta. That's M-A-M-T-A, M-Mother, A-M-T-A. Nadia, you spoke to her, I guess, on weekly, every 10-day basis, correct?
Yes, and the last time I spoke to her was July 28th.
July 28th. So we know she was alive July 28th. Good gravy. It's August 14th. So you heard not... Oh, hey, while I've got you, Nadia, tell me about her schedule. What kind of shifts was she working at the hospital?
So I know she was actually working part-time. She was working twice a week. And I think they were normally like 12-hour shifts.
So 12 hours per shift. I know she and her husband were passing off who was going to be with the baby and who was going to go to work. He's apparently an IT guru. So speaking of the husband, listen.
As police pull up to the home, husband Naresh Bhatt tells police that he doesn't know where his wife is, but he isn't concerned, saying she often leaves for 2 or 3 weeks at a time. Bhatt tells police they haven't been getting along well and have even talked about divorce. Even though their families frown on such talk. Satisfied there's nothing to worry about, the officers leave.
Okay, what? Not worried? Not concerned? Well, our friends go up in arms when they hear this. To Nana Saintubonsu joining us, Fox 5 investigative reporter, you stated that you went to the door and knocked on the door. He answered the door because I've watched him very carefully. And of course, I'm just a trial lawyer, but I see him trying to like walk away from reporters like, yeah, okay, bye. Man, I'd be laying on the courthouse steps screaming my head off, begging for people to interview me to help me find my husband. Don't even mention my twins. But he kind of like walks away. He goes, look, I got to go home and take care of the baby. Okay, yeah, I can get that part. I can understand that. This video is from our friends at Fox 5 DC. What did you learn when you on the door?
So as we were approaching the door, we weren't sure if he was even home because we did hear that he had spent several hours at the police department on Monday. So when we got to the neighborhood, we did like a door knock with neighbors first. We spoke to one neighbor who said, oh, he's home. We saw him enter. He went through the garage. So go ahead and knock. So what do? We approached the door. In these situations, you know, you don't know how you want to enter it. You don't know if he's even going to open. You don't know what he's going to do when he opens. You don't know what you're going to presented with. So my photographer and I, Jesse, decide, you know what, we're going to roll on the camera. We approach the door. I knock. We stand there for maybe 30 seconds, but he comes out, opens the storm door, and we just start talking. So I'm like, you know, when did she go missing? Because at this point, we're all confused with the timeline. You know, police are saying she was last seen on the 31st. Police are saying they came to the house. The official report wasn't till August 5th. So I'm like, let's just ask the husband when the last time he saw his wife was. He did not answer that question. But he tells me on Friday, August 2nd, he called police and police came to the house. He said something with the reports or documentation took a while. And then Monday, it was officially documented and the report was official. So we went back to police a day later and said, hey, her husband's saying that he called and you went. And they said, absolutely not. That is incorrect. We went to the house on Friday because a coworker called for a welfare check. Obviously, I'm finding all of this out after. So as I'm interviewing him, having a conversation with him on Monday, we're just trying to piece together dates. Anyways, I say, sir, are you going to come to this vigil? He says, I'm not coming to the vigil because the baby is inside and I have to take care of her. I say, any words that we can just put out to the community? And he tells me, I just want my wife to be found positively. The wording was a little weird. It was choppy, but we used it. He said he wants his wife back in a positive way. And then he left. But his demeanor, a little shy. Like I said, it wasn't full sentences. When he was giving us his timeline, he was a bit all over the place. But I will tell you, people don't tend to remember, like, was the first Thursday, the second Friday. So he would go back and forth between Thursday and Friday.
Nana, right now,
yes,
I can remember the last time I saw my fiance Keith before he was murdered. I remember it distinctly. It was early morning around 5 a.m. on August the 6th. I had on my pajamas. He had on a denim shirt. He got in his car. He rolled down the driveway of my parents' home. He took a right turn. And as he left, he slung his left arm, driving with his right, slung his left arm over the driver's window and waved goodbye to me. I remember it distinctly. I know the time, the location, and the date. So I'm having a little problem with you telling me that he was, quote, all over the place regarding the last time he saw his wife. And you know what? Wife is enough. But what about the fact this is the mother of his child?
Family and friends insist Mamta would never leave her baby. Following the women's outrage, police follow up with Naresh Bhatt. This time, they ask to look around the house, inside and out. After Manassas police talk to Bhatt, he decides he should file a missing person report.
Urgent, a mom of a 10-month-old baby seemingly vanishes from a Virginia town. Family in desperate search of Mamta.
And that search is becoming more desperate as every day passes. To Brian Fitzgibbons, Director Operations USPA Nationwide Security, could you explain it in the way only you can that every hour a missing person remains missing? I don't mean a mom on a walkabout or a mom going for me time with her girlfriends. I mean truly, as she is categorized by police, involuntarily missing. With every hour, the statistics of her coming home alive lessen.
Absolutely. The chances of her coming home alive go down with every hour that passes, Nancy. And my question for Naresh is, when was this time that she was gone for multiple weeks at a time? We have Mamta on social media posting on almost a daily basis videos with her baby at their house. Okay, so this is a very concerning case. Every day that goes by, there's a baby that doesn't know where her mother is. And we're scratching our heads here, wondering why this timeline is what it is.
And what about the husband? Let me get this straight. Nana Saintu Bonsu joining us, investigative reporter, Fox 5. And again, thank you for that exclusive video you're letting us use. What am I hearing that he has? Oh, I had to make a note of this. Active, special, secret, intel, what does he call it? Active secret clearance with the Army? What?
Nancy, these are all things we're trying to confirm on our end. Of course, yes, we've seen his Facebook, we've seen the images, we've spoken to friends just like Nadia who have shared with us that he did serve at a point he was deployed in combat. We're still waiting on confirmation for the actual details of when he served, what he served, and what clearances he has. But these are all things that we're just working to try to confirm, to even try to get a better idea of who her husband is.
Yeah, I need to find that out. In the meantime, listen.
An IT guru, Mamta's husband, Naresh Bhatt, is not actively searching for his wife, explaining that he is left to take care of their baby girl. Notably, he also has not helped to spread her story or her missing person poster on social media. Why? He claims to have a sensitive job with the U.S. military. But even given his so-called secret clearance, he's uncertain exactly when he reported his wife missing. Bhatt tells Fox 5 he contacted police Friday, August 2nd, but police didn't file the report until Monday, August 5th. He then tells another outlet he contacted police on August 4th and filed a missing person report, while other reports say Mamta wasn't reported missing until August 5th.
Back out to our guests. Let me understand something. Brian Fitzgibbons, the police performed a welfare check, right? But and jump in, Nadia, Nana, Dr. De La Torre, Kathleen. Brian, when police first went to the home, it seemed to me that the husband explained away her absence and police just went away.
Correct, Nancy. It sounds like police accepted what Naresh told them, that Mamta typically goes missing now, or typically goes away for a week or two at a time. Now, this seems to be contrary to what her friends and family are saying.
Yeah, the fact that she would just, quote, go away for weeks on end got them in an outrage. And again, let me report, the husband has not been named a suspect in Mamta's disappearance. But I want to follow up, Brian, with something you detected regarding a chat room, an online group Mamta visited.
Yes, Nancy, and this gives us more concern in this case. Members of a private Facebook group have come forward and provided some screenshots of Mamta's communications over the last few months, that she was in the process of separating from Naresh. Okay, and there were some concerning posts made in there and concerning comments that Mamta made about not having access to funds, not having access to a vehicle, not understanding the different laws around custody, and various threats that were made to her by Naresh about the custody of their child. So this adds to the mix of that reporting timeline and the time lost in this case, that these are really dire circumstances for Mamta.
Days pass before the husband of missing Virginia mom and nurse, Mamta Bhatt, reports her missing to authorities. Where is Mamta?
We were just speaking to domestic relations expert Kathleen Murphy. Kathleen, you were talking about the sometimes explosive scenario when you have a baby. It adds additional stress. The baby is up all night. Both of the parents are working. Now, you see the mom here, Mamta, and I'm looking forward to hearing from Nadia Navarro, who is one of her dear friends, going online to an anonymous chat room. She doesn't know these people. They don't know her, begging for help. Now, I want to circle back to what I mentioned earlier. I mentioned it for a reason. That's dated Feb 16. He is telling people, the husband, that he has, quote, active secret clearance with the Army. All right, whatever. But He's telling that to his wife, too.
Correct.
So, in her mind, he is an IT guru. He has special secret clearance with the Army, with the government. Can you imagine how this adds to her feeling of helplessness?
I see it all the time where women are coming into my office and they tell me these stories from their husbands and they're scared. They don't know how to make decisions. Making these decisions to leave their spouse, it's very difficult in combination with the information that they're getting from their spouse. It's so dangerous, Nancy. And I have really bad feelings for this mother because I don't believe she's alive at this point.
Last scene in the home, I want to go to Nadia Navarro, Momta's friend. And this is the person that banded everyone together to start looking for Momta after baby shower friends contacted her, and she spearheaded the GoFundMe Help Find Momta. M is in mother, A, M is in mother, T, A. Nadia, were you privy to any of the dynamic between her and her husband?
Absolutely. When I lived with them, I just lived with Momta. And he would call me on my phone constantly and text me constantly. I figured it was Momta's first time in the States and that he was just really worried about her well-being. But it did get very intense for me as he started to kind of control where I would go to. And at one point I wanted to take Momta to an Indian store so she could see all the spices, and it just was about 10 minutes further than we normally drove. It was only about 20 minutes then, like, total, but he wouldn't really let her leave the house like that was any further than 5 minutes. And on our way there, he started calling us frantically, and he started yelling at me to turn around and that she couldn't go there and that it was too far away. I thought it was a lot, but I thought maybe he's just, I can see now in hindsight that it was extremely controlling behavior, but I was naive and I just thought he was worried for her.
Let me understand something. I'm hearing this for the first time. Nadia Navarro, a friend of Momta's, you stated that he would call and text you constantly.
Yes.
About what?
He just needed constant location updates from me. So if we went anywhere to grab food or to want to study, he would be like, where exactly are you? What are you doing? Who are you with? And you have to be back in 30 minutes, basically, to the house.
What are you doing? Who are you with? How would Momta react to all that?
Oh, she would, she actually reacted very well. She goes, oh, he's just worried. And it did make me a little worried, but her reaction would kind of soften it for me. She would say, it's okay. It's normal. He's just worried. And I was like, this doesn't seem normal, but if you're saying it's normal and it's a cultural thing, okay.
You know what? I feel sick to my stomach. Dr. John Delatorre, explain.
Yeah, it should make you feel sick to your stomach, Nancy, because here's the issue. These are the kinds of yellow flags that people often just kind of push to the side. This is clear power and control elements that are associated with domestic abusers. But it's still at the top of the list. There's a reason why if a woman goes missing, the first person you look at is her boyfriend / husband.
Guys, let me give you a number. The National Domestic Violence Hotline, 800-799-7233. Repeat, 800-799-7233. And let me reiterate, the husband has not been named a person of interest or a suspect. Tonight, we are all about finding Momta.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
A A nurse mom of a 10-month-old baby misses her shift at the hospital. Her husband doesn't report her missing for almost a week. Where is Momta?
Where is Momta? There is a tip line number, 703-361-1136. Repeat, 703-361-1136. She has been classified as involuntarily missing. Involuntarily missing. To Nadia Navarro, her friend who's spearheading the GoFundMe to help the search effort, I'm amazed and flabbergasted that it's her baby shower friends banding together to try to find her, creating the flyers, getting it out there, getting it on social media. Tell me about the efforts to find Momta.
Well, when I was told that Momta was missing, I had a really hard time finding news and confirmation of it. I Googled, I looked everywhere, and I just couldn't find information at first until I went onto Facebook. I had to go onto the specific Manassas Park Police website. And that's when I started seeing what happened. And I finally was able to find some things on TikTok, but they were only in Nepali, which is why I started the Facebook group, Find Momta Koffel Bot, so that I could consolidate everything that I could find on one page in English so that more people could find out about it. Then I made a flyer. I printed out about 500 copies, and I let people know that I was going to be handing out stacks of flyers to post around town. The first day I did that, only one person showed up. We did our best to go into her neighborhood. We let her neighbors know. Her neighbors were not even aware. Her next door neighbors had no idea. I mean, nobody knew that she was missing. And I wasn't going to let that happen. We've also raised money. Now I've raised over $2,000 to help pay for flyers. We've bought walkie-talkies. We've bought marking tape for areas that we're going to search, and whistles and reflective vests.
To Brian Fitzgibbons, Director of Operations, USPA Nationwide Security, did you hear what Nadia Navarro just said? She and the other ladies are having to do a GoFundMe to get money to make more flyers. Only one person showed up to help her go search, physically search for Momta. I mean, how wrong is this? Why is this happening to this young mom? I mean, think about it. The husband's not out there searching for her. The brother's in Nepal. I don't know where anybody else is. These ladies have banded together. She's reported missing late. The neighbors didn't even know what was going on. I mean, how pitiful is this that Nadia is out there trying to search, and one other lady shows up to try to find Momta?
It's heartbreaking, Nancy, and thank God for these baby shower friends who have banded together to spread the word, because I don't think that you would have found out about this and been able to give this case the attention that it deserves.
Yeah, I mean, and joining me, literally at the last minute, Nana Saintu Bonsu, investigative reporter, Fox 5 out of D.C., I just happened to find her online yesterday. I think, gosh, where did I find her? Somebody asked me, reached out on Twitter, I think it was, and I saw it. And then suddenly I'm like, we've got to change everything. We've got to do this mom tonight, now. And then we, you know, found you. But it's just so haphazard. Just, can you imagine this, Nana? Just one other lady shows up and off they go. And they're trying to raise money to buy whistles. I mean, It's like everyone is letting her down.
You know, Nancy, I want to say two things. One, to Nadia, don't ever think the work that you're doing is taken for granted or no one notices, because it's through you creating that Facebook page that news outlets and journalists like myself were able to figure out what was happening. Getting on that Facebook page, making those flyers, coming together, hosting those gatherings and vigils and making those signs, that's what alerted us and prompted us to, for lack of better words, the severity of this situation. Again, we would have never known she was a mother, 28 years old, 11-month-old baby, pediatric nurse. We didn't know anything. We didn't know any of this through the press release that Manassas Park Police put out.
And another thing, before I give police too much of a hard time about the delay, who am I going to believe? Them or the husband? All I know is this woman is missing. And if it were not for Nadia Navarro and people like Nana Santu Bonsu, I wouldn't even know about it. Please help us find Momta. Everyone has let her down. Don't let it be us too. Tip line 703-361-1136. Thank you to our guests. And thank you especially for Nadia Navarro leading the search for her friend. Thank you for being with us, because in cases like this, the only way this young mom's powerlessness is known and understood is through knowledge. Nancy Gray signing off. Goodbye, friend.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.